I want to talk to you today about the goodness of our God. And I want to tell you, He is not only your healer. He will heal you when you don't know you're even sick. How about that for a healer? I didn't know I was sick. Let me preface it like this. Most of you know that I drove trucks for quite a few years. And the kind of trucks I drove were not like these mamby-pamby truck drivers we have today that have air conditioning and air ride and all of that nice thing. The kind of trucks I drove were not air conditioned, and they were industrial trucks. And so, you know, for years, I made a lot of trips to California driving across the desert. And that sun would just bake in through that window on the side. You know, the windshields are tinted, but those side windows are not. And the last time I drove a truck was in 1994. So what we're going to talk about occurred during that time period. I've had this situation, I didn't know I had it, but this is 2012, so that's 18 years. Well, anyway, over these years, I mean, y'all can tell I'm normally a pretty healthy rascal. You know, I do good, and God's given me energy and strength and health, and besides, I'm just incredibly handsome. I mean, you know, it's just... And, You know, I'm teasing. But I would notice over the years, every now and then, it would always be on the left side of my face. I would get these little bitty sores. They'd be about this little bigger maybe than a pimple, you know. They're little things. And I'd put little lotion or cream on it, you know, and it'd go away. And then it would another one would reappear, sometimes two or three at a time. And they weren't like scary or anything, but when that goes on for 10 years and then, and they're always on the left, they're always in that same area, on the left side of my face, and just here and there and here and there. I didn't think much about it, and I don't really remember like praying a formal petitional type prayer, you know, but I do remember several times over those years I'd be putting that cream on one of them again, and I'd questions, you know, like, do you ever commune with the Lord in your heart? And I'd be like, Lord, what is this? Why doesn't this ever just completely go away? You know, is this, I never would get any alarms or anything, but it was just that kind of a thing, you know. But I felt fine, doing fine, preaching up a storm, people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, saved and healed everywhere we go. I'm doing good, right? Well, you know, we call him Jehovah Sneaky. He'll sneak up on you and heal you when you don't even know you're sick. Now, how this happened was this. I was taking my beloved 91-year-old mother to the doctor, because she had had the little place on her forearm, kind of little place. She didn't like the looks of it. And she had a thing on her nose, another little thing on her nose that said, son, you need to take me to the doctor and get this checked out. So we went and they took a biopsy of each one. The one on her arm was benign, but the one on her nose was what they call a basal cell carcinoma. You ever hear that? It's not dangerous like melanoma, but still, it's a form of cancer. So they took a biopsy of it, and it came back positive for cancer, so they scheduled her with another doctor, which I take her on that trip. And we get over there, and so he's looking at that thing on her nose. Now, what all this has to do with the gospel, trust me, we're going to get there. Okay, I've got to tell you the story, all right? So, you know, the guy, you know, the doctor, he's looking at it, and he does some tests, and he says, you know, he says, that was so small, I think, that when they did the biopsy itself, I think they extracted the problem. I don't think you've got any cancer on your nose. Well, my mom, you know, she says, well, how do I know for sure? Yeah, Sonny. You know, kind of. He says, well, we do have this cream. He says, now, it's really, really expensive. He says, without insurance, it's $900. She says, I got real good insurance, which she does. But he says, now, this cream, he says, now, if you want, I'll prescribe it for you. And you can put it on that place on your nose. He said, if it's not cancer, nothing will happen. If it is cancer, any kind of cancer, if it's cancer at all, then it's going to erupt into a sore. And he says, then you follow the directions on the package and it will take care of it. Okay, so on the way home, we stop by and do the prescription thing. She got it, by the way, I think it was 146. She has good insurance, you know. But still, for this little box of cream. Well, she goes home. Puts it on her nose, first day, nothing. Second day, no reaction. Third day, no reaction. Apparently, they did get all that out off of her nose with the biopsy. But I had mentioned to her over the years these little sores that would come up on my face, you know. She says, hey, she said, take this cream and put it on those sores. Now, preacher or not, 65 years old or not, when mama says do something, you do it. Okay. So I take it home, and I put the cream on these. I had like two or three. I mean, they were so little, you wouldn't think anything about it. You know, really, just little, not even hardly bigger than a pimple. I put that cream on those three places the next morning. You talk about a reaction, like three little volcanoes went off on the side of my face. I said, oh my goodness. You know, he said, if it's cancer, it'll have a reaction. So I told mama, and she says, here, take all this cream. And it was about three weeks worth of the cream. You just use it once a day. Isn't it amazing that they have a cream that will remove that basal cell carcinoma? Well, anyway, so she said, well, you know, where all have you been getting those sores? And I said, well, here to here. She said, well, put it on all that. Yes, ma'am. So I put it on all that. And I should have probably arranged to have an overhead projection or something today. Here's what happened. I just have these pictures. I'm just going to hold them up. I'm going to lay them here on the altar later if y'all want to come by and look at them. Can y'all see that at all? Can you see? On the left side of my face, over this six-week period, that is basal, that's not melanoma, thank God. That is basal cell carcinomas, dozens of them. Can you see them okay? I'm going to walk in front of the camera here too. So the people watching, scary. I had a more serious problem than I thought I had. Now, I looked it up online, of course. Basal cell carcinomas are not dangerous like melanoma. And what they mean by that is, They don't normally spread to the lymph nodes and to the liver and so forth. But they do, the recommendation is that you deal with them because over the long haul they can affect your immune system and they can cause disfiguration and other problems. Well, I got to counting up. Apparently, I quit driving. You notice it's only on the left side of my face? And I would put that cream at first on the right just to see. No reaction at all. Nothing. It's only on the left side. For a little while, it took me a while to understand why. All those years of driving those trucks, the left side of my face was exposed to that window there. Mine wasn't even air conditioned, so the window was down all the time. And I remember driving across the desert. Well, I remember holding my hand up, you know, just I could feel that sun just cooking my face. And now I know that's an appropriate term. It was cooking my face, you know. And it was just, who knew? See, and for 18 years, that, what you see in that picture, was actually just underneath the surface of my skin. And every now and then it would erupt through a little bit. Now, the reason, yes, sir. I'm going to look at some scriptures real quick. You don't have to turn to all these. Most of these you've known since a child. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. When it got like that picture there, and actually got a little bit worse than even those two pictures, even though I would never put the cream, of course, in my eye, that cream is on a search and destroy mission underneath my skin. What happened, I actually had scabs, who can tell you, all the way around my eye. Like this, I mean, scabs all the way around, clear over on my nose. Then eventually, and I never put any of that cream on my lips, but eventually, it even started breaking through my lips. I'd wake up in the morning and my lips, both, they'd just be black with scabs. If I talked very much, my lips would begin to bleed. You know? See, I love all the teaching that's been going on here about the renewing of the mind. I've done my best to keep up. I might be one or two services behind, but I'm pretty well caught up. I love all the teaching about renewing the mind. But see, all of that teaching really is aimed for your heart. God doesn't do anything because we confess His word. Gary, you're the great teacher on confession. What did you just say? No, it's not because you confess the word. It's because of the change in your heart when you did confess the word. So you've got to bring the whole inner man, your entire soul, which is more than intellect. It's your emotions. It's who you are. You, the real you. Do you and the Lord have a trust thing going on? When trouble comes, and I mean real trouble, I would forget. You know, this went on for like 6-7 weeks. I would forget how bad I looked. I'd forget, you know. I went to the little grocery store that's near our house one day to buy a paper. And the little cashier gal was doing whatever, and here I'm standing there with the paper, getting ready to pay her. She looks up and she goes, she recoiled. And I said, it dawned on me, honey, it's not catching. You're okay. It's not catching, you know. When it gets bad like that, doubts start coming in your head. Well, I'm telling you, when it gets bad, I don't care who you are, thoughts start coming into your mind. Thoughts start coming into your mind, you know. Like, this isn't going to really get better. Ah, this really is melanoma this time, you know. You know, you're not, all of those things, your mind. I'm telling you, through this whole thing, it was supernatural, the peace that I had. Part of it is because how it happened in the first place. The Lord snuck up on me. You know, all I did was ask Him that question. If you'll think about it, I said, Lord, what is this? Why doesn't it ever heal? Well, through my beloved mother, He winds up, this is breath spray, but I'm going to use it like that tube of salve. When I hold this up, that's the salve. That's the cream that they gave to put on that. So, in that, I'm going to exaggerate a little bit for teaching purposes. Lord, what is these little bitty spots that keep coming up for 18 years? What is that, Lord? And is it dangerous, and should anything be done about it? Well, unknown to me, through my mother, He winds up putting the cream in my hand that tells me what it is. There's plain instructions on the box what to do. And it plainly says if you'll follow these instructions, it will eliminate the cancer. And I'm, you know, but we're so religiously minded because He came this time. I've received healings of all kinds. I have received supernaturally without any medical intervention at all a new heart since I've been at this church. But I also got to take you back to, I had polio when I was 5 years old, and the Lord delivered me from polio through completely natural means. I had melanoma cancer when I was 42. He delivered me from that one. Well, first off, He changed the diagnosis of what it was. That part was supernatural, but then He did use natural means to remove that cancer from me. What I'm saying is, I've had healings of both kinds. He has used natural means to heal me, and He has used supernatural means to heal me. We tend to get all religious and go, if it's not supernatural, it's not God. Honey, God, it was not the devil that put aspirin in the earth to help us. It's not the devil that gave these doctors knowledge and wisdom on how to help us. Now, any real good doctor will tell you, doctors can't heal. Only God really heals. But they can help alleviate the pain. They can help with all kinds of things to get you to the point of your healing. But see, we, especially us Pentecostals, will go, God, what's the answer? He puts the answer in my hand with instructions what to do. But because it didn't happen supernaturally, we tend to do this. What is your answer? Did y'all ever hear that old joke about the guy who was in the flood? The flood waters were rising. He went up to the second floor and started crying out to God. God, you got to save me. You got to deliver me from this flood. The flood waters keep rising. He cuts through a hole in the roof. He's up on top of the roof, raining like everything. God, you got to save me. A motorboat comes by and a guy in it says, hey, get in the boat. No, God's going to save me. Helicopter comes by. Grab a hold of the rope. We'll take you out. No, I prayed. God's going to save me. The guy drowns, goes to heaven, gets in front of God. God, why didn't you save me? I sent a boat. I sent a helicopter. This time God sent a cream. He sent a cream that I'd never heard of, didn't even know existed. I start taking the cream, and things get worse. How many times have we taught that when you start doing God's answer, whether it's confession, whether it's getting out of debt, whether it's healing, whether it's whatever it is, usually from the time you start, for a while, things get worse. They got worse. I'm used to that. We're accustomed to that. They started getting really bad. The reason we didn't come to church, you can see it got so bad, I was afraid little kids would run off going, "Monster man, monster man." The lady at the grocery store was afraid I was going to give her something, you know, I was catching or something like that, you know. But I'd asked the Lord, and this time, the answer came in the form of this cream. What am I going to do? Lay it down? Am I going to be like the guy, you know, God sent me a boat, God sent me a helicopter, and I'm going to reject it? Buddy, I started using the cream. Now, I did read the instructions, and it plainly said what was going to happen, that these eruptions were going to take place. It said that it gets very black, crusty. You should have felt it. It felt like alligator. If the fair had been in town, I could have made money as the alligator man. didn't even feel like skin. Felt crusty and hurt. You know, I mean, you just touch it or anything, just walk out in the sun. Oh, yeah. Plus, it gave you flu-like symptoms. I ran a fever not less than 100, usually 100 to 101, for about 6 weeks. You ever run a fever for 6 weeks? And it makes you just tired. And then I felt like I had the flu most of the time. Just felt sick, didn't feel like doing nothing. Couldn't go outside. I only put on about 6, maybe 7 pounds. But hey, you sit on the couch for 6 weeks and see how you do, you know. I'm just now starting to... I mowed the lawn yesterday, and I praised God the whole time. I was able to mow my whole lawn front and back, you know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But now, the real issue, I'm not touting the medicine. Don't be writing me. I can't even spell the name of that medicine. It's prescription only anyway. You have to see a doctor to get it. That's not the point. The point is, no matter what answer he sends, how he chooses to manifest your healing, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I'll be honest with you, when it got to be this bad, this is about halfway through, this is about week three and a half. I don't think y'all were here when I held this up a while ago. But at about that stage, even my mama was saying, "You need to go see the doctor again." Well, I hadn't seen the doctor yet. I was just using her medicine. And I don't mind going to see it, but the problem was, I said, "Mama, that's exactly what the instructions say is going to happen. That's exactly what it says. It's doing just exactly what it said was going to happen. By the time this is over, I'll be healed." I had this tremendous peace. I said, this is God's, and I knew it was God's answer. This was his way of dealing with this one. Yeah, I can hear resistance. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. See, if I was the Lord, y'all ever have any of those conversations? I would just heal me. In other words, if I had my choice, I'd like to go, "Father, I thank you for healing me of skin cancer. I believe I receive when I pray. I thank you that it's over now," and zama zama zoom. It's all gone. And I don't go through that. That would be my best. I think that would probably be his best. I don't really know. I just know that's not how it happened this time. My job was to trust in him right in the midst of it. And that when... can y'all see how pretty and pink my skin is right now? Can you see all that? See, look at that. Look at that. And I can take that cream, that same cream that caused all that reaction, put it on there. Nothing at all. It's gone. It's gone. It's never going to come back. In fact, Dave... of course, I'm not stupid. After about a week and I saw what was going on, I come in and asked Dave to pray for me. And he prayed and he had a word. When he prayed for me, he got a word of knowledge. He said, "Now the Lord's showing me that this does have a life of its own. And I'm going to curse it." So he cursed it in Jesus' name. But there was no change naturally when I left in the physical. In the spiritual there was. And 2 days later, he called me with another word. I liked it. I got this wrote down, dated. He said, "This is the last fight I'll ever have with cancer." Amen. You think I'm going to hang on to that? I'm going to hang on to that. See? But I want you to see this. We sometimes read things into Scripture beyond what Scripture really says. Now, watch this. Do y'all think Paul thought pretty highly of Timothy? I mean, basically, he was passing his mantle to Timothy. The last two letters that Paul ever wrote was to his son Timothy. History tells us that Timothy became the pastor of the church at Ephesus, which was a mighty church at the time. I'd say that this is a man pretty highly thought of, you know. But look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Timothy 5, verse 23. Now, I'm going to read it in the King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It's a little more clear. But in the King James, it says, "Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities." If you look that word infirmities up, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's the word that's used for weakness, sickness, and disease. Okay? In the Amplified, it says, "Drink water no longer exclusively, but use a little wine." Everyone say little wine. He didn't say go on a bender, did he? "Drink water no longer exclusively, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent illnesses." Now see, do y'all know I believe in faith? You heard me teach faith, teach confession, teach Mark 11, 22, 23, 24 till my lips roll out on the floor. I mean, you know, just, I am a faith man from my underwear to my everything. But faith does not mean there's no attacks. You know, notice what's in here. If many in the faith camp today would say, well, Timothy didn't have any faith, otherwise he wouldn't have those infirmities. Way too quiet in here. Paul, how could you pass off this Ephesus church? How could you entrust Timothy with that? The man has frequent illnesses. We're so quiet. And, as if that's not bad enough, we teetotalers, we are totally against this. We don't want no wine, not even a little, for his stomach's sake. God uses the supernatural and the natural to heal us. To reject what the wisdom, the knowledge, the benefits that God has put into this earth, to reject that like you're some kind of spiritual giant, to me makes you a spiritual dunce. I worship God. When I have a headache, I take the aspirin and bless it in the name of the Lord and thank Him for it. Thank God. Now, is it possible to live above headaches? Probably so. Gary, have you walked there? No, I have not. But I'll tell you what, I've been through polio. I've been through an incurable heart disease. I've been through cancer now twice, and I'm still preaching. I'm still preaching, whether He heals me by the natural means or heals me by supernatural means. He told Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. There's nothing wrong with using the natural things of this earth that God has provided for us. Talking with a man today, I'm not going to point anybody out, but he's dealing with cancer right now. My counsel is you confess the word, build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in other tongues, and trust the Lord. Ask Him for His answer, and then follow Him through that deliverance, whatever it is, natural and supernatural. Amen? Trust the Lord with all your heart. Now, the real problem is when you start getting into care. And that's, I've known people that refuse to go to the doctors because they think that's the secret. That's not the secret. Trusting in the Lord is the secret. Learning to walk free of care. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5 just for a minute. Y'all do know that 1 Timothy's in the New Testament, right? Hallelujah. The real problem, I'll tell you what this walk was about for me. This was not about confessing the word. I've been confessing the word for so many decades now that it's done something on the inside of me. It was not pleasant. Sue can tell you it was not pleasant. I did my best to withhold my emotions. I'm sure there was times when she could testify that I didn't do so well. Okay? But I would come back to myself and I would get on to myself, because here I'm just feeling a little bit crummy, and I think about what Debbie went through during her fight of cancer with chemotherapy, and others that are listening to me have too. So much worse than what I went through, and here I'm a little, I feel sorry for myself. You know? But still yet, that abiding, foundational trust. I said, look, if I'm not cured at the end of this, I mean, if at the end of this treatment, I'm not okay, I will go see a doctor. But in my view, the Lord's already given me the answer. This time in the natural, my job is to follow the instructions, trust in Him that this is His answer, and at the end of this, I'll be whole. How do I look to you guys? How do I look, see? That incredible handsomeness is back, I'm telling you. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll never forget verses 7 and 8. I will never forget when I first heard Dave break this verse, this passage right here. Casting all your care upon Him, that's the Lord, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So the question is, well, who is it that he can devour? What is it about that person that makes them devourable? It's the care. If the devil can get you to take the care, you start getting into fear, start getting into worry, that's what makes you devourable. Not the circumstances, not how you feel, not what's going on. It's the care. And I got to tell you, it would try and keep on me. I'm human like anybody else. Thoughts would come. And I just, nope. I could feel that trust just reestablish itself in me. Nope. This is the Lord. I asked Him what to do. This is His answer. I'm going to be fine when this is over. I'm going to be fine. And that peace would come again. Do y'all know that this is in the New Testament too? You can look it up later. Colossians 4:14. Luke is called the beloved physician. Luke traveled as part of that team. It was Luke who wrote down the travels of Paul and all of the accounts. He traveled. The beloved physician. You can look up the word physician and you know what it means? Physician. In the Strong's, I'm not kidding. You look it up and it only has one word. Physician. He's a doctor. Traveled with the apostles of the New Testament. Isn't that something? Casting all your care upon Him. Gary, how did you get to this place? Listen, Sue and I have been at this a long time. We've been through great times. We've been through hard times. Through sickness. Hey, through sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer. We're in this thing till the end. You got that? But we've walked with the Lord. We have done our times of confession. We have stood through testings and trials. And I'm telling you, you develop a relationship with the Lord through that. When the trial comes is not really the best time to start developing that relationship. That's why we tell everyone, confess the word now. Get it into your spirit now. Pray in tongues now. Develop a relationship with the Lord where it's you and Him, where no matter what comes, you can be like Jesus. Now, I don't really recommend this, but it's what He did. The storm was about to sink the ship, and He's asleep on a pillow. One thing I can tell you about that scene, He was not full of care. What is it that makes us devourable? It's the care. Taking the care. You've got to learn to cast it upon the Lord. And I did. He just gave me, I just had this, I don't know how to phrase it. All I know is I walked in that complete trust. I knew this was His answer. I knew when this was over, I'd be healed. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. I couldn't really read the word during that time. My eyes were too weepy. I did listen to some of the messages. I didn't walk around confessing the word. I'll tell you what my main job, you want to know what my main job was during this whole thing? My part, if there was any to play? Trust. Just trust. Resist fear. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. This is the answer he provided. This is the answer that is the answer. Now go to Psalms 103 just for a minute. 103. Again, very, very familiar passage. You could quote this by heart practically. Lord, in the process of renewing the mind, your mind has to come to be renewed to this truth. And this is old covenant. I mean, this is what they had under the old covenant. Ours is so much better, but it includes this. Psalms 103, let's do verses 2 through 5. I can't tell you the number of times that this verse would just float up out of my spirit, run through my... You talk about renewing. Maybe that's part of renewing the spirit of your mind. It would just, on its own, this verse would just come to me over and over again during this time. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not. Boy, and that's the thing. The soul tends to forget it when you're in the trial. Forget not all his benefits. Well, what are those benefits? Who forgives all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You think that was appropriate in this trial? Absolutely. My skin, you ought to come up and touch it after the service. It's smooth like a baby's bottom. It is. It's just smooth, you know. I have a little different perspective on healing, maybe, than a lot of people. Most of you, some of you know this, most of you don't. I had polio when I was 5 years old. Now, when I had polio, I had it 2 years before the Salk vaccine, S-A-L-K, before the Salk vaccine was developed. In my generation, the year that I got polio, it was very common. It was an epidemic of it in the United States. I was five, and young people in that year that got polio, most of them wound up in an iron lung, or they wound up in a wheelchair their whole life. Now, I thank God and for praying parents, they're good Baptist parents, and praying grandparents, but they also did everything in the natural. They put me in the hospital, and I was in there for 6 months. Everyone say 6 months. Now, I was only five. I have some memories still of that and what all was involved. They didn't really know how to treat it. They just did whatever they could do. I remember they would put me in these really hot baths, and I remember that I got like 4 shots a day of something or other. And, I was completely paralyzed on the right side of my body. Even my eyelids and my mouth would not move. Nothing on the right side of my body would move for months. 5 years old. You know, I can remember thoughts during that time in that hospital that over these years, I've had many years now to think about it. What heinous sin did I commit as a 5 year old boy to deserve polio? I didn't. That's the same age as our lily cakes. 5 years old, you think she's accountable? No. Think I was accountable? You think that was a judgment from God? No, it was not. Well, it must have been the parents. You know, the sins of the parents, the iniquities are visited upon the children. You better not. You better. Good thing for you. My dad wasn't around to hear you say that. No, that's not it either. Well, what is it? I just had the unfortunate luck. It was just... And I just had the unfortunate case of being born into a fallen world. That's what it is. We live in a fallen world. Stuff happens. Life is not fair. I often think about this little boy up in Ulaga that got the meningitis. You know, it ate off most of his legs and his arms, and his face is all disfigured. Little bitty boy. He didn't do nothing to deserve that. Neither did his parents. He's just living in a fallen world. There's only one answer for things like that. Now, I thank God for the day that they can bring that boy, even in the condition he's in now, to the prayer center. Because we have a Savior that is the answer for all of the curse. Amen. I mean, when the doctors have nothing they can do, we have a Savior. We have a God that there's plenty He can do. And He can restore those arms and those legs and that face. That's why we keep pressing towards revival. But I'm talking about while we're in the battle, let us learn to trust Him with the answers for each of our individual cases. Let Him be the Lord in your life. I am Exodus 15, somewhere it says, one of those verses in Exodus 15, He reveals Himself as Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He's the Lord that healeth thee. Let Him heal you. I don't care whether it's supernatural or natural. Let Him bring the answer. Just like He did to me in this case, follow the instructions and He will manifest your healing. Glory to God. But I've learned, I've had that perspective my whole life. I don't see sickness as being a judgment. Oh, I must have missed it. That can happen. But you mainly, what causes that stuff is we're living on a fallen planet. That kind of thing just happens. But thank God we can have faith in the God who overcomes all of that for us. Himself bore our sicknesses and carried our pains, and He is still the Lord that heals us today. With His stripes we are healed. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what though, when you're in the midst of the trial, it is easy for your soul. Now, are you still in Psalms 103? Notice He's not talking to His spirit. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's part of this renewing of the mind. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Your soul, I'll tell you exactly what your soul wants to do during that. And I'll let it do it some. Sue can tell you. Your soul wants pity. It wants Southern Blackberry Bluebell ice cream all the time. It wants comfort food. It wants KFC with mashed potatoes and gravy with extra gravy. Told you, 7 pounds. Anyway. And it wants sympathy, and it wants comfort, and it wants everyone to be nice and pat you on the back. And your spirit man's going, trust in the Lord. Your spirit man's going, don't forget His benefits. Your spirit man, that renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because the devil will come and say, oh, you did something. You know you did something. You know you this trying to hang that sickness on something you did, you know. So this is punishment. What does it say? Who forgives all thine iniquities. Yeah, but he's healed you before. Yeah, I know you got a new heart, and I know you got this and you got that. But this time, who heals all thy diseases? Your soul tends to forget that. You got to remind your soul. That's part of renewing of the mind. You've got to come to where, and it's more than knowledge. I'll tell you what, sometimes you got to walk with Him for a while, walk through some valleys. Become like Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You've got to know Him in the midst of the valley. He didn't say there wouldn't be no valleys. We all want to camp on the mountaintop. I like the mountaintop. Here's another thing that I would do, and Sue would help me. I have a good wife. I thank God for a godly wife. He that finds a godly wife has found a good thing. She would remind me, and I wasn't always the most pleasant. I wasn't horrible all the time. Not all the time. She would remind me of the prophecies. You know, all those things we've done? all those services that have been done about trusting in the words you have received and doing warfare by the prophecies. I never will forget Mark with that rope. That if you weren't here, you missed half your life that night. He did that teaching on the rope, and that represented your life. And he had those red scarves tied on there every so often. And each one of those was a prophecy. It was a word that you received. And you know, you're going through life, and you receive a word from the Lord. Here's your journey. Now, the thing of it is, you can't see the rest of the rope. The rest of your life is out in front. Who sees up there? God does. He's telling you here something that's going to happen there. You can't see it. All you've got is his word. And the devil's job is to present circumstances here that look like this. The word will never come to pass. Well, when you get boogered up like I was boogered up there, you start having thoughts. And then Sue would remind me of certain prophecies, certain words that have not yet come to pass in our life. And I'd go, and I can't die. I can't lose this eye. I'll tell you, that was a thought. I can't lose this eye. I'm not going to lose it. Because what he said there has not happened yet. Therefore, I am healed. And that peace would come back again. Sue would remind me, you know, see, there's one word that we have that on the day we first got ordained, way back in 1986, and the last sentence was, if I can remember it.
It's a glorious end I have in store for you, my son.
That's it. It's a glorious end I have for you, my son. Well, dying of skin cancer at age 65 is not a glorious end. That's not a glorious end. That's just one of the words. We have other ones. Things about ministry, things about finances that have not yet come to pass. I have to trust he can see in the future where I can't see. I have to do my warfare based on the prophecy that I have now. And that would help me. And that peace would come back again. Amen? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. And I've got to tell you, as I look back on this, even the timing of when this happened was totally the Lord. I'm leaving Wednesday for a week long, almost a week of services in Canada. I'm really glad I'm not going looking like that. The timing of the Lord. And we had just finished. We'd been pretty busy traveling the first half of this year. And we had just finished that. And we both knew not to schedule any meetings in July and August. We did not know why. Honey, now we know why. Again, you come back. And I have lots of offers. I had a lot of offers for meetings, but we both just had this knowing. No, no. Don't think we're supposed to schedule anything in July. July and August. Yes, sir. Now go to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to start wrapping this up. I have taught this passage so many times over the years. I've also, when I've taught it, I've endeavored to live it. I think that's a good practice. Try, you know. If you're a teacher at all, about half the time you feel like a hypocrite. Because what you're doing is teaching the purity of God's word. And I'll say every now and then, look, I'm doing my best. I'm seeing into a promised land. I am not telling you I am walking in all of that. But this is what the word of God says. So hopefully we're projecting it right. And you're doing your best to preach it and live it. You don't always. And then right there you feel like a hypocrite, you know. You got to always be coming back to the word. That doesn't, what are we supposed to do? Lower our standards? No. Let's preach here. Shoot for here, and we're sure going to end up higher than we would have otherwise. Amen? Well, so I've taught this, and because Paul taught it, Philippians 4, about the God of peace. Righteousness. What is the kingdom of God really about? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Well, most Christians don't live in a whole lot of peace in their day in, day out walk, and especially during a period of time where they're under attack. So I have taught this over the years, and I'm just going to do it out of the King James. It's good enough, you know, it's you get it. Where it says, be careful for nothing. In the Amplified, it says, don't worry or be anxious about anything. What? Don't worry about anything? Now, my same mother who God, she was the instrument God used to get this wonderful cream into my hand. Everything was fine till I started looking really bad. And my mama would look at it and go, "You need to go to the doctor. I'm telling you, I think that's getting worse. I'm thinking that's melanoma now. I'm this and that." and it's all love. I mean, you know, I don't know if she actually said, "I think it's melanoma." But she, you know, the inference was there. She was going, because it got ugly, it got scary. And I go, "Mom, it's going to be fine. This, I'm telling you, it's going to be fine. When I get finished with this, I'll be healed. It'll be all done." "Well, I don't know." "See, are you sure about that?" I said, "I am, actually. I'm sure about that. It's going, you know, this peace, the trusting in the Lord, I knew it was His answer. I knew it would work." So I wasn't, I knew the one thing I had to really be careful of was not get into fear, not get into worry. Because if you do, the God of peace won't be there now. Here it is. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry and don't be in anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And see, I'd really already done that. I said, "God, what is this? Is it dangerous? What's the answer?" I'd done it for years. To me, this was His answer. And I rested in that. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. That is so important. If you're just going to go by the natural understanding, it's scary as all get out. This is the same whether it's healing, whether it's finances. We've never yet had, the Lord has never yet given us an assignment where the devil didn't make it look impossible. The circumstances immediately, you know, I hear people all the time, and I know they're well-meaning, but they're not experienced. "Well, if it's the Lord, every door will open." Honey, my experience has been that the Lord says, "Go that way." The first sound you hear is every door on that path being closed by the devil. Every circumstance, like Dave talking about those demons, those fallen angels in Brazil standing at the gate, you know, of that next room. That's exactly the way it is. They camp right there. Every devil in hell makes sure every circumstance is going to say, "That's not the way." And yet you hear a voice behind you, "This is the way. Walk you in it." And you got to go, see? But then you got to come to that place, just like it says here, the peace of God which passes understanding. That means it passes all that natural thinking, see? "It shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, how do you do that, though? See, just like I had instructions on the medicine, here's the instructions on the medicine of peace. This is how you apply it. This is what you do in order to walk in peace. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." Now, not facts. Facts are like what you see in that picture. Facts are temporary. They're real. We don't tell you to ignore them. I wasn't ignoring them. Facts can kill you. Facts, who was it? Ronald Reagan. He said, "Facts are stubborn things." But facts are not truth. Jesus said, "Father, thy word is truth." That's the truth of the universe. That does not change. That is not temporary. That is eternal. His truth will change your facts. You got that? His truth will change your facts. What has to be renewed to it is the unjust judge. It has to be the soul. I was listening to his message just going, "Oh my God." It's so woven together. "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." What's truth? Not fact. "By His stripes, Gary was healed. Himself bore Gary's sicknesses and carried Gary's pains." The Lord says, "I am the Lord that healeth Gary." That's the truth. Okay? "Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely." I love this one. "Whatsoever things are of a good report." Faith, real faith, always has a good report. Even while it doesn't deny the facts. I mean, if you see me, this, you know, sometimes you can kind of hide the facts. Honey, I couldn't hide the facts in this case. Little kids, mommy, monster man. You couldn't hide the facts. Well, whatsoever things are of a good report. Well, what's the good report? I'm in the process of being healed. You haven't seen the end of this yet. I'm in the process of being healed. 6 weeks, it's going to be over. And it was. Took about seven. It's okay. And the good news is I have another word now. That was my last fight with cancer. You think the devil's going to leave me alone about that word and never test that word? I got a feeling, based on everything that I've ever walked through in this life, he's going to come around again. I've got a word now. No more rounds with cancer. Cancer's not allowed in my body. No more rounds with cancer. That's it. I've had all the fights with cancer I'm ever going to have. Don't take the care. Okay. Faith always has a good report right in the midst of the facts. You don't deny the facts. I wasn't denying it, but I had a good report right in the midst of it. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, now notice, think on these things. That is not a suggestion. If you want peace, think on these things. Say, oh, he'll just give me peace anyway. Well, let's see now. He says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. In other words, this is how Paul lived. Those things you've seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Well, if words mean anything, if you don't do them, the God of peace won't be with you. Doesn't mean God's forsaken you. But you're not going to be walking in his peace. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. My peace. Well, good Lord. If anyone ever walked through difficult circumstances, it was the Lord. But he walked in peace the whole time. Walking in peace. Trust in the Lord. Say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not upon thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Say this with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Soul, I'm talking to you. Put your hand right here like we're talking. You're going to talk to your own soul for a minute. It's more than your mind, but this is just a point of contact. Soul, I'm talking to you. We're going to bless the Lord today. We're not going to forget his benefits. He forgives all my iniquities. The Lord heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Soul, don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. That's who the Lord is to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the time to get to renewed to that is now. Get renewed to that so that it, like it did me this time. I didn't have to go back and dig it up. I remember a time when I did. I didn't know all, you know, I didn't start off knowing this. I remember a time when I had to hunt out healing verses and made a list and confessed them. And what was I doing? Well, I was renewing my mind. I was feeding my spirit man with spirit food. Again, Jesus said, my words, they are spirit. They are life. When you eat his word, your spirit man is dining. It's what makes you strong. But it's more than mental knowledge. It becomes you. That peace is more than mental. Peace is peace. Your heart is involved with that. Your whole inner being is involved with that. And it's wonderful, I'm telling you, to walk through a test and a trial. Well, that part's not wonderful. The wonderful part is while you're walking through it, to be really at peace. to have no fear. I knew that I knew that I knew I was coming out on the other side. I knew that I knew. Well-intended people, when it got really at about the worst, you know, and they all loved me and I appreciate it. You need to go see a doctor. You need to go see a doctor. And if I'd have got any witness from the Lord at all, I would have. But I already knew I had his answer. This is what he told me to do. This is the answer. At the end, I'll be fine. And I am. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Glory to God.